Thanks, Pastor Phil, and good morning, everybody. If you'd like to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Now, a few weeks back, there was the young people's breakup down at camp, and Kai, who's the youngies leader in Perth, asked me if I might be able to help out with a discussion group down there, and I didn't end up able to be down at the camp. But the discussion that they were having that he asked me to help out leading was about longevity. And it got me thinking about that topic. So I wanted to bring out some thoughts about longevity today. And looking around the room, maybe there's people here that know a lot more about that than I do, in a natural sense. But I'm not going to point out who that is. Longevity is it's a topic that, you know, naturally people think about a lot. You know, quite often you'll see, you know, on the nightly news, they'll have a human interest story about somebody who's turned 100 or if they're over 100. And always when they have these stories, they'll finish off by asking the particular person who's lived to a ripe old age, what's the secret to your longevity? And some of them will talk about, you know, having a good diet and an exercise. Some of them will just say, don't die, which is always a good tip if you want to live for a long time. Some of them will have other things. I heard one just this week on the radio. They were talking to a bloke, I think he's out in Narrogin, who has just turned 100 and still lives independently and still drives and those sorts of things. And they asked him, you know, what's the secret? And he said just having a positive outlook is really important to living a long time. And so people want to know what the secret to longevity is. And well, we're not that particularly concerned about living a really long time in the natural sense, because we know the scriptures say that our life is but a vapor. Whether you live for 20 years or 100 years, it's still just a vapor. We want to know about how to live a long time and how to continue on in the Lord. And so Matthew chapter 20 here, I wanted to start with a parable here, which, we'll start reading it and we can it up from there. Verse 1, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire labourers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the labourers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and says unto them, why stand ye here all day idle? And they said unto him, because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the labourers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have brought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne that burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine own evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, and many will be called, but few are chosen." And so the parable here that we're very familiar with, obviously there's a lot to take out of this parable about, you know, not being envious of others and not comparing ourselves. But the thing that I really, that really sticks with me about this parable is that the reward is handed out at the end of the day. If you want to get paid, you've got to be there at the end of the day. It's no good whether you're called at the first hour of the day or the 11th hour of the day and you decide that you've had enough and you walk out of the vineyard before this pay gets handed out. You walk away with nothing. And you know, and the parable here, it talks about some that were hired at the very start of the day, and others at the third hour, and the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, and the 11th hour. And you know, looking around this room, we have exactly that spread of people. Like myself, I received the Holy Spirit when I was 7 years old. So the expectation from the Lord of me is that I spend the entire day, the entire of my life, working in the vineyard. You know, other people, I think like, you know, Ian and Suzette were spirit-filled in their early 20s. So that's kind of like, you know, the third hour of the day. You know, others, you know, received the Spirit when they were a bit older, and you know, so they're the sixth hour or the ninth hour of the day. And you know, others received the Spirit right at the 11th hour. You know, we heard just a couple of weeks back about a lady, Nana Willie, in whatever that country was in South America that I can never remember, receiving the Holy Spirit when she was 90 years old. You know, very much being called into work in the vineyard at the 11th hour. But regardless of when we're called, we need to be there at the end of the day. And that's where longevity, in a spiritual sense, is so important. Because if I think about, you know, the number of people that I've known over the, you know, nearly 35 years that I've been Spirit-filled, who have worked for a period of time in the Lord's vineyard and then have given up and walked away. I've seen, you know, people who've, you know, spent 30, 40 plus years, you know, labouring for the Lord, you know, who've been pastors, who've been all sorts of roles in the fellowship and then have given up. And there's no reward for that. While I'm talking, we'll go to Ezekiel chapter 18, just to pick out another verse about this. I've seen, you know, I remember talking to someone about this, someone who'd been in the Lord longer than me, and this particular person said to me, he said, "Brian, you know, just about every single person I've ever known in the Lord has walked away." And unfortunately, that's what it can feel like sometimes. We see so many people come into the vineyard. Some of them are there for, you know, in relation to that parable, some of them are there for just a few minutes. Some of them are there for hours. But you've got to be there at the end of the day if you want the reward. And that's why longevity is so important. And here in Ezekiel chapter 18, there's a passage here that really brings it out quite succinctly. In verse 20, it says, "The soul that sins, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die." It's a pretty sobering passage here, basically to say that, you know, if you, as a righteous person, you could have been living a righteous life for decades and decades and decades. But if you turn away from that, all that good that you've done previously is worthless. It means it's of no value to you anymore if you turn away and give up on the Lord and walk away. As the scriptures here, it says, there's verse 24, it says, you know, this, "In the sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die." If we give up on righteousness and choose sin instead, we've wasted all that effort that we've put in. And we don't want to do that. We want longevity. We want to be here working for the Lord, living spiritually as long as it takes, whether that's till the end of our natural life or whether it's till the Lord returns. We want to be there to get that reward. That's the whole point of being here. It's because we want that reward of eternal life at the end. So we'll go to John chapter 3. So, you know, I spoke earlier about how there's, you know, all this, you know, natural advice that you can get about how to live a long life. And so I thought, what's the best natural advice for living a long life? And so I asked the fount of all knowledge in this modern day, ChatGPT. And asked ChatGPT, how do I live to 100? And ChatGPT gave me some advice. He said, you should exercise regularly. You should eat healthy food. You should get enough sleep. You should be social. And don't smoke. That was ChatGPT's advice if you want to live to be 100. And obviously that's a natural thing, but there's lots of parallels to the things that you do if you want to live a long natural life and the things that you do if you want to live a long spiritual life. But I was looking at this advice from ChatGPT and I thought, you really missed the biggest thing here. John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou do, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What's the first thing you need to do if you want to live a long life? You need to be born. You need to be alive in the first place. It's no good giving a whole heap of advice about how to live a long life to someone who's dead. It's of no value. And spiritually speaking, the world over this morning, people are going to church trying to take on advice about how do I live a long spiritual life, and they're dead. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They haven't been born again. And so what good is it to you to do things that will give you a long spiritual life if you're not even alive in the first place? So the first step, if you want to be, have spiritual longevity, is to be born again. Obviously not a natural birth, and I was hoping there might be some new people here today, but, there isn't. But, it's always a really good thing to remember that all of the advice that we see in the scriptures about how to live a good, healthy, long spiritual life is given to spirit-filled people. It's of no value to someone who doesn't have the Spirit. It's just wasted on them. Philippians chapter 4. So having corrected ChatGPT's mistake and feeling very let down by what was supposed to be the, fount of all knowledge in 2024. So the first thing, obviously, and you hear this advice a lot, if you want to go to your doctor and say, how do I live to be 100? They'll tell you to exercise regularly and eat well. Have a good diet and exercise. And spiritually speaking, those two things are incredibly important as well. For Philippians chapter 4, just one verse here, verse 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the peace of God shall be with you." We need to make sure that we feed ourselves with good things. In the natural sense, if you spend your life eating junk food, there is no way you're going to live to be 100 years old. You'll probably die in your 50s or your 60s from heart disease, if you're lucky to get that long. But, we need to make sure that there are, in this world around us, there are so many things that we can feed ourselves with, and so many of them are junk. Some of it might be, might be fairly harmless. It's just, stuff that just occupies your senses without, being necessarily negative. But that's not particularly good for you either. In a natural sense, if you just spend all your life eating, rice crackers that have no nutrition in them, you might be full, but you'll starve to death. And that's one of the tricks, the traps that we can have in this modern information age where there's just stuff coming at you all the time. We can fill our minds with stuff that's not necessarily negative and not necessarily, promoting ungodly attitudes, but it's just filling our minds with empty calories that do nothing for us. And those are the things that tend to get in the way of making sure that we're feeding ourselves well, particularly reading the Word of God and feeding ourselves on the Word of God. I'm bad for it myself. If I get on the scroll on my phone, I can, without realizing it, I've just spent an hour looking at just mindless garbage on my phone. And I think, well, if I just spent half of that time reading my Bible, I'd be so much better off. And that's one of the things that we really need to be careful of, is to make sure that we are feeding ourselves with the Word of God. and feeding ourselves with good things from the Spirit. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 27. So obviously, we need to make sure that we're feeding ourselves with good things. You know, one of the big things that health professionals will talk about is having a balanced diet, eating lots of different things, not just the same thing over and over again. And that's really important. And in the spiritual sense, God has got so much variety for us in the Scriptures. You can have some prophecy and you can really get into some really meaty, you know, prophecies, if you like. You can just have those basic salvation Scriptures that are like your milk and bread of your diet. And there's all these different things in the Scriptures, and we should be getting into a bit of all of it, not just having the same things over and over again. We've got all of the Scriptures that are there for us, all with something different to feed ourselves with. So we need to make sure that we're taking all of that in. Proverbs chapter 27 here. And the other thing that goes hand in hand with, obviously, having a good, varied diet is exercise. You need to be active. And Proverbs 27 here, just one verse again, verse 17, says, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." We have this wonderful fellowship, so let's use it to exercise ourselves spiritually. When we get together and have fellowship, let's talk about Scriptures. Talk about, you know, if there's, you know, if you've got a question about the Scriptures, ask people, talk about them. That's spiritual exercise. Is, you know, bouncing off each other, sharpening that iron that we need to sharpen. You know, if you think about it in a natural sense, a lot of people who, you know, really like going to the gym have a gym buddy that they go with, because having that other person there with you motivates you to do more. And it's the same thing spiritually speaking. And it's kind of like getting a personal trainer for your spiritual body. If you're talking to other people about the things that you've read, it motivates you to read more and to learn more about the Scriptures, because, you know, someone will bring out a bit of a revelation that they've had, and that's really exciting to hear. And then you can share something, and it encourages you to do more. All those sorts of good things are part of our spiritual exercise for our long spiritual life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's going to be a bit of jumping around between all the Scriptures today. Because it turns out when you look at a topic about longevity in the Scriptures, the challenge is just narrowing it down to what you can fit in a 30 to 45 minute talk and not be here for 3 hours. Because there's so many Scriptures. The Bible is basically, you know, the spiritual well-being diet book, you know, that CSIRO well-being diet, which is this big fat book. It's like no one's got time to read that. And being healthy isn't that complicated in the end anyway. But the Scriptures are so full of good advice. And that's why it's so important that we need to keep reading them and keep, you know, reminding ourselves of that good advice. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9 here, we'll pick it up in verse 24. And it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And Paul here is talking about the need to exercise self-control and self-discipline. And that's a really important thing for us to be exercising in our spiritual lives, is that discipline of making sure that we put time aside each day to pray, to put time aside to read the Bible, to be disciplined about, you know, getting to fellowship as much as we can, about all those sorts of things. Because there are so many distractions. Our natural mind just loves being distracted by natural things. And so we need to be disciplined. In verse 26, he says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beats the air." We're not just shadow boxing here. We need to be actually doing this properly and making sure that we, you know, make the most of the time that we have. Because everybody talks about being time poor in our modern world, which I'm convinced is an absolute lie, because we still have plenty of time. We just waste it on a whole heap of unnecessary things. But we need to make sure that we're disciplined in the way that we use our time and the way that we exercise ourselves spiritually. And then I could spend the next 20 minutes of what talk time I have left just on this particular topic about exercise, spiritual exercise. But, you know, we know in Jude verse 20, it talks about building up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Incredibly important form of exercise for us. And we need to be doing it every day. We need to be keeping our spiritual body active and moving. Because, you know, in, you know, our modern society, they say one of the biggest health problems that we have is everyone's sedentary nature. We just, you know, they say sitting is the new smoking. You know, that this is what kills people in 2024. It's not people dying from smoking. It's people dying from sitting at a desk all day. And it's just as bad for you. And in a spiritual sense, if we just sit and do nothing spiritually, we just atrophy. You know? I saw that with Rhiannon after she had her knee operation. She wasn't able to do anything. She wasn't able to walk on that particular leg for about 2 months. And it didn't take the full 2 months. It was 2 weeks. And that leg would basically just disappeared. The muscles in it were just gone. Because if you don't use them, you lose them. And it's the same in a spiritual sense. If you don't exercise yourself spiritually, that strength that you have will just disappear. So keep exercising it. You know, keep looking for opportunities to witness to people, to get tricky questions thrown at you, to be able to exercise yourself and you know, answer those questions. You know, if you don't have an answer, ask your brother or sister, and they can benefit from looking for the answer as well. So many good ways to exercise ourselves spiritually. So the third bit of advice that ChatGPT gave me was get enough sleep. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. So we're not particularly spiritually looking to go to sleep, but it's about rest. You need to have rest. And if you just go, 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 constantly in a natural sense, if you sleep, you know, 3 or 4 hours a night because you're just busy, 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 busy all the time, you're not going to live a long life. Your body will burn out, you end up with all these sorts of health problems, and it's actually incredibly important to get proper sleep. For our long-term health. And spiritually speaking, being at rest is incredibly important for us spiritually. And Hebrews chapter 4 talks about the need for us to understand our rest. We'll pick it up in verse 1. It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on his wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today you will hear his voice and harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, or Joshua, it's actually talking about here, had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So let us therefore labour, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall under the same example of unbelief." And so it's kind of a bit complicatedly worded in the King James Version, but what Paul is getting at here is that we need to understand that our salvation is not about works. When we go out and we witness to people, or when we pray, or when we read the Bible, we're not earning points towards our salvation. We're not having to meet a particular standard to please God. That's all been done for us. Jesus did the whole lot for us. When he filled us with the Holy Spirit, he made us perfect. Those things are about us understanding the position that we've been put in and joyfully giving back to others. Because we get so much out of, you know, preaching the gospel. We get so much out of praying and reading and those sorts of things. They're not a means to achieve salvation, they're a means to just fulfill our joy. And that's what the rest that we have to understand in. And understanding that is an act of faith. As it says, you know, in verse 11, it says, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, Paul here was talking about the Old Testament, the Israel in the Old Testament, where they couldn't, they struggled with the Sabbath. Because, and particularly in the Old Testament, the Sabbath wasn't just one day of each week. The Sabbath was also the seventh year out of every 7 years they were supposed to stop working. They were supposed to not plant and just take a year off. And you don't actually read anywhere in the Old Testament about them doing that. Because it would have been a pretty substantial thing that would have been a big thing in society. You know, well, no one's planting any crops this year. Things would have happened in that year because people had all this time. And you also, you know, again, the year of Jubilee is not something that we ever read in the Old Testament about the Israelites actually putting into practice. One of the biggest problems of that is that there was only one period of time in the entire Old Testament that the Israelites managed to follow the word of God for 50 years in a row. Every other time, they might have got to 20 or 30 or 40 years, and then they'd had an evil king, and then they lost the plot. So they only ever managed to do it once in those thousands of years, was get to 50 years of actually following the Lord. And even then, they didn't, you know, they didn't understand the need for the year of Jubilee. So it was never actually put into practice, which is a really, you know, interesting thing that, you know, the year of Jubilee, the very first one, is actually going to come when the Lord returns. Because it wasn't something that was natural people could get their head around to do. But in a spiritual sense, we need to make sure that we understand our rest. We understand where we stand with the Lord. That this exercise that we do is not, you know, we're not just desperately trying to reach a standard or something like that. Because that's not necessary. And if we do think like that, spiritually speaking, we kind of get in the way of getting a lot of blessings from the Lord, because we're trying to do things in our own strength. We're trying to, you know, and we're always going to fail when we try and do things in our own strength. And so then we condemn ourselves. And when we condemn ourselves, we're not believing what the Word of God says about us, about our righteousness, about how, you know, Christ's sacrifice was complete and there was nothing else that needed doing. So that's why it's so important that we build up our faith, praying in the Spirit, to understand where we stand with God and how we have been perfected. Because rest is a wonderful thing. We all, I'm sure we've all had periods in our life where we've just been really, really, really busy and you just feel run down. You know, your body doesn't work properly. You know, the kid three doors down sneezes and you suddenly are sick because you run down, and it's just, we can get like that spiritually. But if we take a step back and just appreciate where we stand with God, it renews us, as the scriptures say. I'm running out of time. I'd better move on. Hebrews chapter 10. The fourth tip about living a long life was be social. Get involved with things. You don't necessarily have to have a lot of friends. That doesn't actually help you live a long time, having lots of friends. So if you look at your Facebook friend count and it says 300 or whatever, sorry, it's not going to help. But being social is just about having connections with people, being socially active. You might just be with people that you're acquainted with, but just that interaction with people, it really helps in a natural sense to keep you healthy. And in a spiritual sense, we need to be socially, spiritually active as well. So Hebrews chapter 10, I'm sure you know the scripture I'm going to here. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. It's why fellowship and getting to meetings is so important, because it's that spiritual social outlet. We're interacting with other spirit-filled people in a way that, you know, it builds us up. It's enjoyable in a natural sense to come and hang out with people that we share things in common with, but it builds up our spirit as well. As we read in Proverbs 17, that iron sharpens iron. You know, we're rubbing off against each other. We're sharpening our spiritual sword. If you jump over to Hebrews chapter 13, same book, and just verse 2, it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And it's so important for us to extend our spiritual socialness to new people in the church as well, to be looking to draw people in and not just, you know, interacting with that, you know, group of people that we're familiar with and those sorts of things, but extending ourselves to new people as well. It's part of what keeps your joy alive in the Lord, is seeing new people come into the fellowship, seeing them grow, being able to help them, being able to share your experience and the wisdom that you've picked up over the years and help them navigate some of the challenges that they'll have. It's all really beneficial stuff for us and helps us live a long time spiritually. We'll jump back to Hebrews chapter 12. So the fifth tip that ChatGPT gave me was don't smoke. Okay, so why? Why shouldn't you smoke? Well, because smoking causes cancer. So don't smoke is really just saying don't get cancer, or avoid things that are going to give you cancer, because it's really hard to live a long life if your own body has turned against you, which is essentially what cancer is. It's your own cells mutating and growing out of control. And the scriptures talk about things that are cancerous, you know. And one of the biggest ones here is brought out in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. It says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Bitterness is cancer to us spiritually. Not being able to get past, you know, being wronged or being let down by people in the Lord. And it happened, I've seen it, if I sat down and tried to count the number of times over the years that I've seen people walk away from the Lord because they've become bitter towards somebody or they haven't been able to let a situation go, it'd be a long list. It'd be an awfully long list, because that bitterness is spiritual cancer. It eats away at us, and it saps your joy. It gets in the way of you seeing your prayers fulfilled, all those sorts of things. So learning to forgive and to move on from those things is so important for us to have longevity in the spirit. And it's one of those things that's interesting, because we know the scriptures that talk about, you know, that it's those who overcome to the end that will be saved. And we focus a lot about overcoming the world. But sometimes the thing that you have to overcome is the fellowship, because we're all natural human people and we're all going to let each other down at some point. And so many people get so disappointed when they're let down by their brothers and sisters that it becomes this bitterness that eats at them, and then they walk away. Or they're not happy about how the oversight have handled a particular situation, and it sticks in them and it just eats at them, and they lose their joy and they walk away. And it's so important not to do that. Because, you know, we need to overcome all things, and sometimes it's the person sitting next to you. Thankfully, there's no one sitting next to me, so I'm not pointing anybody out. Because I look at my own walk in the Lord, there have been times where I've gone through really difficult times, and to be honest, I felt really let down by the fellowship in those times, because the support that I thought would be there wasn't. And that's unfortunate, but at the end of the day, we're perfect in the spirit. We're not perfect in the natural. And we will let each other down, you know. But we need to be able to move on. And in that time for me, you know, what it came down to for me was the scripture where, was it Peter? He said, "Where else will I go to hear the words of eternal life?" That's the key thing. Even if you're frustrated or you're hurt by someone in the fellowship, where else are you going to go to hear the words of eternal life? You need to be here in the fellowship, hearing those good things, learning to forgive, learning to move on, and making sure that we don't, you know, give ourselves spiritual cancer, essentially. I'm down to my last scripture. That was well timed. The ultimate scripture. It's not the penultimate one. Deuteronomy chapter 5. So there's all these good advice from the scriptures about how to live a long life spiritually. You know, we know that we need to be there at the end of the day. For some of us, the end of the day might feel closer than others. But who knows, the Lord might return tomorrow, so the end of the day might be tomorrow morning. We don't know when it's going to be, we just need to make sure that we're still here, still doing our bit in the vineyard, so we get that reward in the end. So we need to make sure that we feed ourselves on good spiritual feed, we exercise ourselves spiritually, we make sure that we understand our rest in the Spirit, and we enter that rest, and we understand that we're not striving to make up for our natural faults, because they've all been made up for by the Lord already. We stay social with the fellowship, we stay social with new people and the unsaved to draw them in to the Lord. We forgive, we don't let things, you know, eat away at us spiritually. And one last thing that I wanted to bring out, which wasn't on ChatGPT's list here, Deuteronomy chapter 5, an Old Testament promise in verse 16, it says, "Honour thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee." This is one of the commandments in the Old Testament law, to honour your father and your mother. And spiritually speaking, we have that same commandment today, to honour our father and mother. Obviously, God is our father, and we honour our father by following his instruction. There's lots of other things in the instructions in the scriptures, warning about staying away from certain things. And if our father has told us that something's a bad idea, then listen to it. Take good advice. You know, in particular, I think about things like, you know, the scriptures that warn us away from drinking and about alcohol, and talk about, you know, how it clouds your judgment and how it leads to trouble and all those sorts of things. You know, having a glass of wine doesn't in itself make you unfit the kingdom of God. But if God says that it's a bad idea, take the good advice and stay away from the thing that's a bad idea. Also things like, you know, having romantic relationships with people outside of the fellowship, looking for a partner outside of the Lord. Over the years, I've seen many people go down that route, and they've said, well, that person, no, they're not. They don't try and, you know, keep me away from the fellowship. They're happy for me to go to meetings, all those sorts of things. And, okay, that's nice. But when you're in the middle of a really hard trial, are they going to suggest to you to have prayer? Are they going to pray for you? Are they going to encourage you to get to the fellowship, to get, you know, that spiritual enlightenment? They're not going to. And so many times over the years, I've seen people who've, you know, got partners outside of the Lord, and they're still around for a few years, but in the long term, I don't know anybody who's still in the Lord who's made a decision to pursue a relationship with someone outside of the Lord when they were already Spirit-filled. Which makes sense, because if God says something's a bad idea and you do it, it's not going to end well. And, you know, so we honour our father by following God's advice. And our mother is essentially the church. It's our fellowship. So if the fellowship is saying to us, you know, don't get involved in this or don't get involved in that, it's because there's wisdom that's been built up over, you know, 70 or 80 years of the fellowship. The pastors have seen people make mistakes, have seen things go wrong, and they've brought it, we have our guidelines as a fellowship because we've learnt from those mistakes, you know. The church should never have instruction that contradicts the word of God. And if there's anything ever in our fellowship that the pastors say that contradicts the word of God, I would hope that every single person would stand up and say, no, that's not right. You need to change what you've said. Because we honour our Father first and above everything else. And so this is, and that's, as the scriptures say here in verse 16, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. We have, we've been brought into a spiritual land, and we want it to go well. We want to live a long spiritual life So we'll keep doing what our Father says. We'll keep, you know, enjoying being part of the fellowship. And we'll be there at the end of the day to get that reward, which is a bit more than a penny, I'm sure. We'll leave it there.